it was life-changing for me. And I think it is for a lot of women. I don't think that I'm unique in this experience. I think that real estate creates an opportunity for a lot of women to be entrepreneurial and to raise their children, pay their mortgages, and have an independent lifestyle.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to The Real Tea with Didi and Kelly. This is episode 3 of our podcast, and oh my goodness, I can't even believe we've already made it to episode 3, but this
no.
is a lot of fun so far, right?
Yes, loving it.
We are excited because on this episode, we are going to be talking about what our biggest wins are in real estate and also what the biggest lesson that we've ever learned throughout our careers.
Oof, deep. So,
I know, we're going there. We're going there. So, Miss Didi, yes. Why don't you start by telling me what would you consider would be your biggest win throughout your career?
Okay, so this is not going to be what you expected.
No?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, my biggest win in real estate has nothing to do with any real estate transaction that I've actually had.
So you are going to go deep, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So my biggest win in real estate really has been the ability to be independent, to be able to provide for myself, to be able to make a living. I was a single mother for many years during my adult life after a failed marriage. I mean, many people can relate to that. And I was able to raise my children, and my son went to private school and my daughter went to college, and I was able to accomplish things and take care of my children and live independently as a woman. And that was very empowering and probably what led me to be the whole girl boss preaching woman that I am today. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the biggest win for real estate was for me. That's what it did for me. My corporate job didn't do that for me when I was in corporate America. That's what my career in real estate did for me.
So that was deep. And now you're going to make me feel bad when I answer what I considered mine was.
There's no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone.
The judgment-free zone, that is true. What you said is super important. I didn't even think about it that way. You mm-hmm. definitely did, but I didn't even think about it. And I think that is really important because for me too, and for everybody else who's out there, this is a career that lets you define what you want your life to look like.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
many other times you work for X amount of dollars a year. You hope maybe you get a raise. I have my friends who are at Wall Street and lawyers, and they just can't wait to know like what their bonus is going to be. It's going to determine what they can and cannot do that next year, or if they can pay their bills. And that's a stressful way of living. Now, 90 something percent of the world does live that way, but right. You're right. Real estate allows you to be all that you can be.
Right.
And I also think that's also why it's so challenging and why it's so difficult to really get a foothold in this career and to be successful, because you're on your own. There's nobody paying that health insurance premium for you every month. You've got to do it. And this is a business which you can do your job really well, but there are so many other influences that can affect whether you get paid at the end of the day.
That's right.
So whether it's economies or your client loses a job here in New York City, it's about the co-op board application process. If mm-hmm. there's a co-op turned down 3 months later, I'm not getting paid.
Right.
That commission's gone. So there are outside influences that also have to be recognized and you have to navigate. So it's challenging. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. Some people feel very overwhelmed. Some people get stuck at one level of income and they really could and should be making more. And people also get dragged into not having work-life balance.
Right.
And that's true of any career, but as a single mom, that's crucial to be able to spend time with your children and to be there for them.
Right.
So, I mean, kudos to you for that answer and for making a successful career as a real estate girl boss.
It was life-changing for me. And I think it is for a lot of women. I don't think that I'm unique in this experience. I think that real estate creates an opportunity for a lot of women to be entrepreneurial and to raise their children, pay their mortgages, and have an independent lifestyle. So mm-hmm. I think it's great. I mean, that's just one way, right? So mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest win for me in real estate, for sure.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to go transactional win. Sorry, everybody out there, to bring you back down. Reality. So mine,
it all leads back to money.
No, but not how much money I made, just kind of a pivot that was made in my career as a result of doing my thing.
Oh, this sounds good.
You know, I was a residential real estate broker in Manhattan, and going back several years, I was referred an individual who happened to be a very well-known local developer, and he and his wife were shopping for an apartment in New York. And that was what the referral was, to help them find a place that they could live in because they lived in the suburbs and they wanted a place in the city. So he and his wife and I went out and we started looking at places, and I was showing them listings and I was showing them new developments. And being somebody who really truly believes in being very educated about the market you work in, I was able to say, okay, well, this is why maybe this new development would make sense. And I would highlight the pluses and minuses about that new development versus another one versus another listing, just doing my thing. And they didn't buy an apartment. They kind of put their apartment search on hold. Mm. But several months later, I got a call from him and he said, hey, will you come out to Brooklyn and meet me for lunch? And I'm like, okay. And he said, look, I'm going to tell you up front, this is not about buying an apartment. We're not doing that yet. We still have that on hold, but I want to talk to you about something else. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, what the hell does he want to talk to me about? So I go to lunch, we sit down, it was Thai food. I still remember the exact restaurant we went to. And over this lunch, he said to me, so my wife thinks you're amazing and that you would be a great addition to our development team. Now, this is somebody who specialized in affordable housing, but had just started doing several buildings in the city that were residential market rate buildings. So he said, we have all these projects going. We can all sit in a room and say, hey, this is what we think looks right, or we want these cabinets, or this is the right price point, or this is the right floor plan, but we're just doing it for ourselves. We really don't know. And he said, although we've already hired and several of these buildings already, they had selected the new development team that was going to work on the projects from one of the big firms here in the city.
Right.
So even though we already might have the Corcoran or the Element or the Halstead or the whomever's assigned to this, we don't want to be assembly lined through the process. We want somebody in the room who we feel will protect our interests and who understands the market, who understands how this works, who knows who our ideal client is, and to make sure that each one of these projects becomes the most saleable product that it can be.
Ooh.
I know, fun, right?
Right.
So had I done all this stuff before? Had I met with branding companies? Had I been in architectural meetings to like fight over floor plans or fonts? No, but that is ultimately what this job became. And we kind of made this deal where I would give him 70% of my time. It turned out to be like 120% of my time, but I would still, and he had wanted me, and this I think is an important part for everybody to kind of hear. He had wanted me to come and be an employee of his company. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I said, because the second I remove myself from being a residential real estate agent in Manhattan, Brooklyn, I lose part of the value that you're hiring me for, because I'm no longer out there seeing all the new developments, seeing that this week the trend is white kitchens. So let's not building that's going to be 2 years from now with white kitchens, you know, just as a very simplified example. So I said, we have to come with some other arrangement. I'll give you, again, it was 70% of my time. And so I did work with them for several years. And this leads into, again, it's all part of the same in my head win. Not only was it a win that this guy picked me up from, I don't want to say nowhere, but I wasn't doing this. This wasn't what I thought I was going to do.
Right.
And created this whole new area of specialization for me. But moving forward, one of the projects that I worked on, and we can go into a much deeper dive of that later, was one that came to market right after the Lehman debacle. Oh. Okay.
Oh.
And so they had asked me to be the on-site agent as well. And I was like, before this, they kept asking me to be on-site agents for different projects. And I would say, nope, 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 nope. That's not what I want to do. I'll be your consultant. That's it. But this was an opportunity to go in because of the craziness of the world. I agreed to do it. We couldn't find somebody else that really was the right fit. And because of different mechanisms that we put into that building in terms of pre-development, contracts, the way the whole thing was going to happen, that project in Brooklyn wound up being noted by The Real Deal as the most successful condominium building post-Lehman crash.
Well, and that is a win.
Right? And again, it just goes to show you that sometimes you may not think you're going to go, you think you're going to do this and that right. and the other thing every day.
Right.
But somebody pulls you off to the side and recognizes you. And again, in this case, it was his wife. He even admitted it. He's like, my wife loves you. He's like, but I'm going to trust her.
Win the wife, win the deal.
Right, right. And like really kind of go into a different direction. So you have to be fluid in this business and be willing to say yes to opportunities, even when it might not be the most comfortable fit, as right. long as you know that you are still going to be able to provide value and what your value is. Again, if I had said, sure, I'll just work for you and call it a day, I would have not been able to do all the referrals and my regular right. clients and other business. And I would have, again, lost my edge to what made me special and valuable to him.
Right.
So I know I talked a very long time to explain what my win was, but that's it.
But what a great win though. Amazing.
Thanks. Holy I think cow. It's something I'm proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be. You kind of met up there with mine. I mean, mine felt a little deep, but.
Yours was deeper. mine felt good.
That was a good feel. You know, it wasn't a failed marriage, but it was good. You
know? Well, as we know, let's not even go there. That's because I haven't been married yet, because I just do the long-term relationships instead of the marriages, but you know, technicalities.
Right. So that's a great win. So what do you think has been your greatest, your biggest lesson that you've learned?
So I think it's the one that everybody has, maybe kind of, you'll probably go deep on this one too, but my biggest lesson learned is the never ending, don't try and be everything to everybody. Like, know your lanes, know what you're good at. Stay there. Yes. Don't get distracted by squirrels and shiny objects. And sometimes that means saying no, and which hurts. You think you're yes. saying no to money and it's right. hard, and you stay up at night saying, right. should I say no? Should I say no? Should I fire that client? Should I, you know, travel an hour commute to show that listing? Like, you need to be very aware of who right. you are, what you're good at, what your passions are, where you're going to resonate and be able to find the most sellers and buyers or developers or renters or whatever else in this business, international business, which you and I are going to talk about a lot later too, which is also right. our jam, but need to know how to not get distracted, to not fear that saying no, which I said this to you the other day and you're like, I love that, but no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
And you need to really stay in your lane and trust that the rewards will come.
Yes.
And don't get distracted and don't go over here and don't go over there and don't throw up things against the wall. And this applies to marketing as well. Don't try everything and anything, because then nothing is going to happen. You're just going to be stressed out with no business, or maybe a little bit of business here and there, but no consistency, in my yeah, opinion.
That's true. I have trouble sometimes overcommitting and saying no. I realized that when you said that the other day, it really resonated. No is a complete sentence. Yeah.
We can thank the Oprahs of the world for that yeah. kind of insight.
Yeah.
So what's yours? What do you think your biggest lesson so far?
My biggest lesson is that I learned to define success myself, my own definition of success.
That's good.
And of course, we'll talk about this too, about how comparing yourself to others and things like that. I think we all kind of grew up doing a little bit of that. And when we compare ourselves to others, we always pick the biggest case scenario. You want to compare yourself to the billionaires of the world, right? But I think that was the biggest lesson for me, that I define my own success. Here's what success is to me. And when I meet these levels that I have set for myself, I am successful. And I think that's very important for everyone to do, because I think we get caught up oftentimes in what we see on TV and what we see around us and all the fakeness on social media. And we start setting that. We let other people define what success is for us. You're not successful unless you drive this, unless you live here, unless you dress this way, unless you do this. And you constantly running in circles and never really getting fulfilled yourself, because those things are not necessarily the things that you value. So I think the biggest lesson and the most valuable lesson, and I really hope that I have passed this successfully down to my children as well, is that you define your success. And that starts by knowing what your values are and by aligning those two things together. And I think that's the biggest lesson that I've learned and that I continue right down to this day.
And I think to further that, when it comes to real estate, defining your own success does not always mean how much money you make, what your DCI is.
No, of course not.
I want to spend more time with my family. Mm-hmm. Success. Mm-hmm. I want to do 10 transactions a year. I want to do 20 transactions a year. Or it is, I want to make X amount of dollars a year.
Correct.
There are multiple ways of figuring out how to define your own success and what mm-hmm. that means to you and how to then aim for it.
Correct.
Break it down into baby steps mm-hmm. in order to work towards it, because it's not just the default, how much money am I going to make?
Correct.
What's also funny about that saying, success is defined as you define it, is that I always say that about future boyfriends in my life. Like, I want them to define success.
Well, this is going to make an interesting turn.
Define success on their own terms, because I live a certain lifestyle. I like it. I do my thing. But if you don't make X amount of money, or you don't like, you know, whatever, then that's okay. But don't come home and bitch and complain about, I'm not getting paid enough. I want to do this, but I'm not doing this. I want somebody who's like, this is what I do. I love it. I'm mm-hmm. good. I feel successful about it. That's what I want. Again, in terms of dating definitions of one of the things I want in a man in my life, but it's also exactly the same as a real estate agent. You can't be complaining all the time that Sally Smith is making X amount of money, or like you said, driving, whatever. You can do it too.
Right.
You can do it, but stop complaining and figure out if that's truly what your definition of success is. Because if it's not, reframe it and go after what your definition is.
Right. We always talk about this. We're all so busy, but busy doing what though?
Right.
Right. We all think that we're hard workers, but are you really?
That's the biggest thing. We were talking when we were putting our course together the other day, and that subject came up, and we were going deep, and oh my goodness, a lot of soul searching there. But really, are you working hard? You just think you're working hard.
Correct.
A lot of people, I think they work hard, but they're on social media and they're playing video games, or they're playing or whatever. And then they complain. They complain that Sally Smith is doing it better than they are. Well, maybe Sally Smith is not on social media 4 hours a day.
And that's why you hear things people say, you know, everybody wants to be successful until they find out what successful people have to do, right? There was an old saying that says, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. It just all plays into the fact that people want the reward, but not necessarily what it takes to get it.
To get there.
And so that's some hard work. We're going to get into that with some.
I don't want to die either. Just to put it out there. I'm not.
Yeah, me either. Count me among that group.
No. The other thing I think that kind of ties into this is I recently saw an article by Warren Buffett that he was featured in. And he said, the most successful people know how to say no. And that brings us back to what we were saying earlier. Don't be everything to everybody. Know what your values are. Know what your passions are. Know how to live there and find success within that bucket.
This is great. Well, listen, it's been another great one, Kelly. This is good. Good stuff.
It's always a pleasure, girl. All right. So we're going to wrap up this episode. But if you would like to contact us, if you have a question, or you'd like to present a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about in the future, please don't forget to email us at info@globalgirlscollaboration.com.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, everyone.
See you later.
See you later.
Hi, it's me again with The Legal Language. This podcast is presented solely for informational and entertainment purposes. We are just your virtual gal pals, and the views, thoughts, opinions, and experiences expressed are our own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of any affiliated companies or organizations. We are not attorneys, and this podcast is not intended as a substitute for the advice of a lawyer or any other legal, financial, or qualified professional.